You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. And I'm actually looking at Rashog as we speak. He just doesn't know it. I'm inside Tom Gazzola's house, Shogger, and there's a picture of you on the wall. I might send you the picture of it. I'm just curious of the weird look you have on your face in this photo. So
I can't remember if Tom asked me to sign that or not for him. I think he asked me a while ago. I haven't gotten around to it yet. So if he wants to bring it to the game tonight, you let him know. I'll throw an autograph on there for him, and he can. Unless he wants to get a bigger one.
How much will you charge him for your autograph?
What's the picture? What is it?
It's you and Tom standing when you're doing a hit for TSN.
It was a picture of me and Tom on the wall.
Yeah.
Well, right over the fireplace or like above the
beside the fireplace, actually. And then there's, it's like a collage of Tom's. There's no picture of Struds and I, though, but there's a collage of his working career. It looks like.
Accomplishment. So I'm more curious. So you're at Gazzola's house doing this show.
Yeah.
What is in that guy's fridge? Like,
there's
like
a lot of pop,
bachelor,
actually.
Yeah, he does. For every bachelor.
Yes.
What are some
his
items?
House is very clean, though. I'll say that. It's very clean. It's very clean.
Tom's well kept. Tom's neat. Yeah. He's well kept.
He does. And anything, Strutty, I can't believe Strutty, we've been here for 2.5 hours, and Strutty hasn't mentioned the fact that when you walk into Tom's place, on the wall is a picture of his most courageous moment of his life in junior hockey when he got 2 stitches and came back into the game. And there's a picture of him, Strutty, right there on the wall with his teammates with the stitches.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not. I couldn't even make up a story that good.
The one thing I can't believe is here, he has a pair of push-up bars on the ground, and I, not looking like he just must have just got them because he doesn't have much for pecs.
What are push-up bars? What do you mean? Like a...
You know, they lift you off the ground. They're like a U-shaped, and you put your hand on it, and it helps you get a little deeper on your push-up thing. So they must be brand new. You know what I mean? Like he hasn't used them just quite yet.
Or maybe
nor is Shogger because he doesn't know what a push-up bar is.
I mean, hey.
Well,
now.
You can't have push-up bars and the little bird cage in the same room. It just doesn't the feng shui is off.
Hey, if someone gets a chance, poke your head into his room. I'm curious to know if his bed is made. Like, is he a get up? Because if I lived on my own, like, I probably would never make my bed a day in my life. Ugh. I bet Tom's bed is made with throw pillows.
It might, but all I know is before I came into his house, I did have a black light just to make sure that it was a safe place. Safe place.
Yeah. Tommy's the type of guy who sleeps.
Well, yeah.
Tommy sleeps in a made bed.
Yeah.
Okay. Shogger, speaking of made beds, some guys will make their bed or not to be in the NHL roster this year for the Edmonton Oilers, at least to start. I look at Perlini. I think he's obviously in, but there's a chance tonight, and I think it's slim, but what if Kyle Turris lights it up playing with Nugent Hopkins and Hyman for the next two games? How does that impact, do you think, for Kyler Yamamoto, who didn't, you know, he's got 100 NHL games played, and, you know, it's been over 2 years since he had that great run, or I guess a year and a half. Where do you think that plays out if he's not going to get in these two games, and suddenly a guy like Turris, granted, it would be a long shot, but what if he plays well in these two games on that line?
I don't think it means anything for the immediate outlook. For Yamamoto, like when Yamamoto's healthy, I believe he'll go right back into that spot and he'll get an opportunity to play in that spot and to earn that, you know, to continue playing there. If Kyle Turris plays well, I think it more than anything, it helps to solidify Kyle Turris's, you know, attempt to be on the opening night roster. He wasn't be playing this game before. Because of the injury to Yamamoto, he draws in and now has a good opportunity. So I think Kyle Turris is a fourth-line player on this team if he makes it, and he's got an opportunity tonight to maybe get some offense going with the guys he's playing with, and good for him. I'm going to be watching Colton Seager real close tonight and just the different aspects he brings and how he looks on the penalty kill if he gets an opportunity. Turris or Seager is a real interesting one. They're kind of different players, and that's an interesting competition.
This morning I heard you on the morning show, and you were talking, suggesting that the Oilers, with the depth they now have, are more likely to have the two big guys together, 97 and Leon together on a line, more than less likely because there is added depth. Can you maybe just extrapolate on that? Because I actually think it might be the other way, because you do have that more depth. Now you have two dominant centers, which, you know, not every team can field two dominant centers to match up with those two guys.
Right. Well, first of all, on behalf of Dusty and Lieutenant Eric, we want to extend our thanks to you for listening, Strud. That's meaningful to us to know if you listen.
8:20 every morning.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. I've talked about this a little bit the last couple of days. I think David and Draisaitl are going to be dynamite when they're together. They were before, and I think they will be again. I think Dave Tippett was hesitant to do it before because he didn't like what the next line coming over the boards would look like. He liked that line better. And so the temptation to go to that, McDavid and Draisaitl might still start the same number of games on separate lines, but we might see more often that he goes to that sooner. You know?
Lost him.
Oh, that's a fine.
Just like that, he was just about to get to his point. So this is my idea.
Him and I disagree on this one.
You think they'll be together less?
Well, you got to remember, they played 54% of their ice time 2 years ago. Yeah. They got more depth now. Tippett really likes the Nugent Hopkins, Hyman, and Puljujärvi trio, which I think would be the only way you could do it long term. I think he's really going to run with McDavid and Draisaitl. I think you're going to see them come in as a shift right after the penalty kill.
Yeah,
almost every game. That makes almost, especially because Nugent Hopkins and Hyman are on your penalty kill, so they're going to be bagged anyway. So you can come back after every penalty kill. You can go right to McDavid and Draisaitl. It's going to be phenomenal. So that's going to be something I think happens. But I'm intrigued. The only way, Sjager, I think he goes long term is if Puljujärvi is on the second line with Hyman and Nugent Hopkins. Then I could think it's realistic because that could be a legit second line.
Like, quote-unquote long-term. I don't know if they're going to start 10, 12, 14 games in a row together. What I'm saying is, and I don't know what the number is, but whatever the percentage of 5-on-5 ice time that those two played together last season, whatever that is, and to make this point, I should probably know what that number is, but I don't know off the top of my head. I think it could be 10-15% higher this year. Maybe even a little bit more. Because I think they're simply just going to be able to overpower teams by playing those two together. And then you play that other line, and if you feel good about how the minutes they give you, McDavid and Draisaitl against certain teams that match up that are a little more maybe top-heavy, I think they're just going to be able to overpower people, and I think Tippett's going to go to that tool more often this year. It's just it's a gut feel, and I could see... Let's see how this line looks, and let's see how they do, but the temptation is going to be great, especially when he feels better about line number two. So let's remember I said this and revisit it at Christmas, and we'll see where it's at.
We're always very quick to compliment you when you get something right. I mean, that's what we do on this show. We always
support never each hear other. About it when I'm wrong, ever.
Joined by Ryan Rashog, breaking down the NHL, and right now the Edmonton Oilers, who take on the Vancouver Canucks tonight, a pretty watered-down lineup of the Canucks. You know, just to carry on that conversation, is it the are you more comfortable saying those two guys, the big guys, 29 and 97, be on line together because of the arrival of Hyman or because of the potential of what Puljujärvi could do this year, which is, I think, north of 25 goals?
Because of the arrival of Hyman. I think it's primarily because of the arrival of Hyman, because I'm not as convinced as you guys are that he'll shift Jesse away from those two. He might.
Okay.
He might. But it could be McDavid, Draisaitl, and Puljujärvi as a nuclear line. And then you come out next with Hyman and Nugent Hopkins and either Yamamoto or Cassian or whoever. Fogle can play the right side if he has to. Just depends who's earning that spot. I think that adding a player of the reliability, the relentless work ethic, the tenacity of Hyman is what gives him the comfort level that second line is going to give him the same quality of minutes. So I hear what you're saying, and maybe Puljujärvi will land there, guys, but I think it's all about adding a player as good as Zach Hyman.
If you're Dave Tippett, are you expecting McDavid and Drysdale tonight, and then they both sit out Saturday's game in Vancouver?
I think you see how it goes. Because how many days do they have after Saturday? Then the first game is Wednesday?
Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you see how they're feeling. Maybe you play them, but you play them sparingly. Like, you don't necessarily overwork them. Because then that would make, you know, that's quite a few days between games. Yeah, it's a good question. I think what they want to do is what matters most, and I don't know what the answer is. How many has McDavid played?
This will be his fourth tonight.
This will
and
be
he
his
said he
fourth.
He said at the start he'd like to play four games.
Yeah, so then maybe just that right there is the indicator. I'm not sure, you know, who goes in for that last game, who doesn't, but maybe you pull him back for that game just to not take any chances. So if he said he wanted to play four, then my guess is this was scheduled all along, and this will be his last game. Like that probably makes some sense. And Mike Smith, too. Like I think it'd be good if Mike Smith could get both of these games in, or at least a full one here and half of the next one.
Yeah, because, you know, with all due respect, Shargard, like, what does McDavid get out of one more game on Wednesday? You know,
yeah.
Like, if he's not ready now, like, and to even those words that come out of my mouth are just crazy. Like, he's going to be ready, you know? Like, so I just don't see a reason why you want to tax him more than you need to. You know, and I know that you're looking at this lineup and you're trying to figure out, okay, where does everybody come from? I get it. But I just don't know why I need to do it. It's a long season. It's going to be compressed. I just think as much time as you can give these guys off, I'm not even worried about injury because it rarely happens.
Yeah.
I'm worried about taxing. Give them a break. Say, take a couple days, get yourself right, be ready for, first game? Wednesday.
That's fair. Yeah. It makes total sense. And if they're not saying, no, I need another game, I want another game. I mean, I'm sure Connor just calls his shot, right? This is the number of games I want to play. The team is obviously going to play him on the home games for the gates, right? They're going to want to get as many gates with McDavid there as possible. So it's probably somewhat predetermined, unless there's a reason to deviate. You know, I don't think they necessarily have to. And then it's more opportunity. Like, maybe if you don't play him in that last game, it gives you an opportunity to give some other guys a look and some extra minutes that are fighting for those last spots and more ice time, right? Maybe it's throw Tyler Benson up on a second line and say, have at her with some better players and see some different type of players and see what happens. But it was notable today for me when Tippett was asked about, you know, what the difference is between keeping guys and not and everything that factors into it. The one thing he said is, you know, guys were worried about losing. So whether that's William Lagesson, whether that's Tyler Benson, it's on their mind. And it's something that is factoring in.
Yeah. I guess just one last quick one here. I get that you got to, you know, cater to your top players or listen to them. But I think also you've got to be, you know, you have to say, if he really wants to play a last game, say, Connor, you don't need it. You know, you don't need that last game. You know, and Mike Smith's a little different because he had, you know, he had the situation, didn't feel right or whatever. But I just say, Connor, with all due respect, man.
Just shut him down.
What's one more game going to do? And that's this, you know, and I think it's the same for Leon. And, like, there aren't many guys that say that about on this Oilers team, but Leon, Connor, and Darnell are the three guys I say, listen, guys, I love how hard you want to work. We don't need you right now. Like, we need you to be fresh. And then it's a hard conversation, but that's what a coach is supposed to do.
Do you think that there's anything that would happen in that exhibition game on Saturday night? Lopsided win, score here, score there, one team dominates, whatever. Do you think there's anything that carries into the opener the following game?
If there's a cheap shot, yes.
Maybe.
Because you look, tonight's roster, yeah. Edmonton has pretty much their NHL team, and Vancouver's a little light. Now, the Oilers, when they go to Vancouver, if Yamamoto's not healthy, they can only take out McDavid and Drysdale. Everybody else has to play because they don't have any other healthy bodies.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So that's all they can do. So I think it will to me, that's the easiest one. McDavid and Drysdale will come out of the lineup, and Perlini and Shore go into the lineup. Now, does Yessopoulou-Yarvi play with him? We'll see. Maybe Yamamoto's ready for that game or not. But I think, you know, Nugent Hopkins hasn't played on the road yet, I don't think. So I would expect him to be in the lineup.
Yep.
They could change out. Now, on defense, they could bring in Cuckoo and Lagesson, and I would expect that. So, I don't think Darnell Nurse will play either on Saturday night.
But you're Keith and CeCe going both games, right?
I do because yep, you know Keith wants the games and they want to get, build some chemistry. So I would play those 100%. Two together for sure.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that for sure.
Yeah, Shocker, we will see you in person at the rink. And meanwhile, right. Strutty and I will just we'll autograph your picture for you.
All right, clean up on your way out.